Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
What a time to be alive. Knicks are up 1-0. An exciting, thrilling victory at the Garden over the Pacers last night. And the Garden is a place to be. So Sunday, we had the Rangers win 4-3. Then we had the Knicks win yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Now we have the Rangers again today. How they do, our coverage starts at 6:30. Puck drops at 7. And then the Knicks again at the Garden.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at the Garden more than Billy Joel, these two teams.
Every other day, man.
Beautiful. Peter, I know you weren't alive in 94, but that's how it was.
Well, I was alive. I wasn't here.
How old were you in 94?
I was 15.
Okay. Did you have were you keeping an eye on it? Did you?
Of course. I was of course watching the finals the night of the big OJ chase in 94. I was very dialed. I was as dialed into sports in 94 as I ever was, honestly.
And Anthony, you were in the womb, or were you birthed by that point?
That's correct. Negative 2 months old.
Oh, you missed out.
So your mom was 7 months pregnant when all this was going on.
Look at Don doing the quick math. You see that?
See, I'm getting better. 6-1.
You make me better.
Wow.
Now, are you an only child, or you have brothers and sisters?
No, I have a younger brother.
Why don't you know? I mean, the guy works with you for years.
Know.
You don't know.
I know nothing.
That's sad. Did you know, Peter?
I believe I knew he had a brother. I don't know if I would have known older or younger.
So your father's going to be a dad for the first time, watching the Knicks and Rangers battling for a championship. Quite a time for your dad.
Very stressful.
Yeah, it must be a lot of stress, right?
Well, I mean,
you know what? You know, watching the game yesterday, if you're invested, you know, if you have a dog in the fight,
as they say,
it's stressful.
There's no
That's
fun.
What being a fan is about. It's stressful. Those last 2 minutes, you're like, you know, you're biting your nail down to the, you know, the cuticle. Your hands are bleeding.
It's not a good time. It is such a strange way to live as a diehard fan. Because everything you do, you go to a movie, you go to a concert, you get a nice meal. You enjoy it. You look forward to it. And whether you're at a party or whatever you're doing, you enjoy that moment. There's no enjoyment in watching your team in the playoffs.
Until they win.
And then they win the game.
Momentary.
And then you can look back at the run and go, boy, that was fun. But while you were going through it, every loss killed. Every win, you were, you know, holding your breath. And let's face it, these teams... Even with the Rangers sweeping the Capitals, there wasn't too many moments where you had your feet up, you know, knowing that you were going to definitely win the game. There were still, you know, stressful moments, especially for the Knicks. Every one of these games, Michael, was in doubt in the final few minutes of the game. So you're not having fun during all of that. And then it's over and you breathe a sigh of relief. You celebrate for like 5 minutes and then you're off to, all right, we got game two coming up, you know, the next day or in a couple of days, and it's back to stress again. It is crazy that we invest ourselves in this and the time we actually enjoy it is minuscule.
Right. Yeah, I think people lose years off their life with the stress that they endure rooting for their team. But, you know, it makes you feel alive in a way. So that's why people do it. Now, we've been talking about the two-minute report, which hopefully we'll get within this hour.
It is in Anthony's possession. It's on our way to us.
I can't wait.
It's happening. It's all happening.
Well, let me ask you this. So, Don, I can't, and we never do anything on the show for radio.
No.
We do it because that's what we believe.
We let it go.
So, Don actually thinks the last two-minute report is a good thing.
I like it.
I think it's terrible.
Okay.
You hate it.
And I think Peter kind of tends to believe...
I think he's in lockstep with you.
All right.
No, I'm in the middle.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he's in lockstep. That's why.
No lock.
If the NBA doesn't do anything to Jamal Murray, Don, what's the two-minute report for?
Who's Spud Murray?
Well, now you're talking about two separate things.
Yeah, but I mean, they're a flaccid organization. Mm. They have no room for them at all.
Well, I think we understand that when it comes to the Stars. I think everybody agreed that when they went to Secaucus to review a flagrant 2 on Embiid, that the NBA, the league, looked at and go, we can't make it a flagrant 2. We can't kick him out of this game. We can't suspend him.
If they're powerless, why are they putting out the last 2-minute report?
But because I guess, Michael, is that they would never admit that.
But they're admitting they're wrong in the last 2-minute report.
But no. They're never going to admit that they look the other way when a star player is supposed to be suspended.
That's what they're doing with the last 2-minute report. They're telling you, by the way, we saw a murder, but there'll be no arrests.
I just think there are two separate things. They're trying to be transparent, but there are times where they're not going to be. I like transparency, but it would be something, Michael, than to admit the conspiracy theory of not wanting to throw a star player out. Like, that would be something if there was some sort of report, or if Adam Silver made himself available after a game and said, guys, let's be honest, we didn't throw Embiid out because he's Embiid. They would never do that. They can't possibly do that. But that's a difference there, because now you're talking about clear conspiracy. Here, what they're saying is that we know the rules. We saw the replay. Our official got it wrong. That's one thing, but we're talking about another level of things. They're admitting that a mistake was made.
There's only transparency to a point?
No, there's only transparency on the things that they choose to be transparent about.
But they're not being transparent.
But you can't be transparent on a conspiracy.
But isn't it?
Because then
we're not throwing out the stars. They could take a gun out. Right. We're not going to throw them out.
Well, but I guess that's an area where they don't want to admit that. But you have to admit there's a difference between an official making a poor call and them conspiring to keep a star player in the game.
The only thing listed as an IC, an incorrect call, is the kickball violation.
And that's all I expected.
Which might be the game turner.
It's a big deal.
Because if it's not called the kickball and he just hit it with his hand, they score on that.
Now, incorrect non-calls, which are also important. Mm-hmm. You have a defensive 3 seconds on Indianapolis that was not called. That's an incorrect non-call. You have an offensive foul on Dante DiVincenzo. Incorrect non-call. Wow, this gets even worse. Well,
but you know what's also interesting, guys? It's all arbitrary, because something can happen with 2 minutes and 3 seconds left in the game that's not part of the report.
But what did they say about the moving pick?
At the end of the game, you're referring to.
Well, why would incorrect they say? They reviewed it.
Yeah.
Turner extends into DiVincenzo's path and delivers.
That can't be an incorrect non-call. Yeah, it's a call.
Yeah, why does that say incorrect non-call? It says the player is Miles Turner. That was the call.
Can't be a non-call. They made
it
a call.
It was the call. They actually reviewed it. I would think that
that's going to hold up.
Here it is.
Up.
No, that's a second one, by the way. Correct call for the Miles Turner. There's two.
Yeah, and it was correct.
There are two offensive fouls there listed here on Miles Turner. The one with 18 seconds left, replay review of a foul called on Turner pursuant to a coach's challenge, was deemed unsuccessful. It was the correct call.
But there's certain things that Michael is going to go unsaid. Like, there's a difference between everybody seeing that the incorrect call was made and the NBA confirming that. But imagine if the NBA, during the 2-minute report, said what was incorrect is you can't make that call in the final minute of the game. They're never going to say that. Right? So there's certain things that are said, like a bad call, and there's certain things that are unsaid, like, well, it was the right call, but you really shouldn't make it that late in a close game. So everything is arbitrary, right? They choose the last 2 minutes, and not the last 3 minutes, not the last quarter. It's the last 2 minutes. And there's certain things that go unsaid. Like, you don't call that at the end of the game. You don't kick a star player out of the game. You don't suspend a star player. Those are two different things, Michael. Yeah, they shouldn't do that, but you can understand that.
But replays show that Embiid could have terribly injured Mitchell Robinson. He should have been thrown out, and that was something Secaucus looked at, and they said no.
Well,
so that means that the NBA is complicit.
Well, that's
now
what
they see
that.
A replay of Jamal Murray throwing a heat pack on the court. If he's not suspended, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, well,
why
I
are
agree.
We giving out last 2-minute reports?
I agree with that. I mean, I do think he'll be suspended, but who knows? So we thought Embiid would be suspended, and he wasn't. Although I don't think anybody was surprised that he wasn't, because he didn't get the flagrant two. That was the difference. But if you don't admit it, isn't that saying, no, we thought the right call was made?
No, as long as you don't say, yeah, we thought the right call was made. Just don't say anything and let the officials know, and if the teams know, and then the teams could say what they want to say. You could tell them if this becomes public, you're going to be fine. Let the teams know, as you said before, so they could scout officials or whatever and know what plays are going to be called, and let the officials know they screwed up. Letting the fans know it does nothing. It's a kick in the sack.
That I disagree with, because it's a kick in the sack. Everybody knows that the wrong call was made. Is anybody really surprised when these last 2 minutes
I disagree because there are Pacer fans that felt, well, that was not an illegal screen, and it was. So now the two-minute report tells us that it was.
But that didn't matter with the illegal screen, because they reviewed it anyway. I mean, you could debate whether they should have called it or not, but nobody could debate that wasn't a foul. It was a foul. The only debate was, should they have called it in a close game in the final minute? Now, whether the ball goes off a leg or not, Michael, everybody sees that they got that wrong.
I want to tell everybody this. So we're talking about wrong calls against Indiana, right? Knick fans should not be embarrassed at all. It's all part of the game. They received bad calls in Philly. They let Embiid get away with stuff, and the Knicks won. The Pacers had many chances to win that game despite these bad calls in the last 2 minutes. They were up by 9 points in the fourth quarter, so stop. I'm not going to sit here and apologize for that the Knicks won a game. I'm not going to do it. That's why I hate the 2-minute report, because now some people in Indiana are going to take some of the steam away from the Knicks. Well, see, they did really win.
Well,
they did really win.
And this is what's scary, because if it goes the way that it did in Philly, so is there going to be a game in this series where we go, oh, well, the Knicks should have won that game but didn't. And now we've evened things up, because it didn't matter in Philly because they already had the lead anyway, so it never tied the series. But if the Pacers get the break tomorrow, well, now you've got a tie series with the Pacers having home court.
Now let's go to the phones. Let's go to Hank in Fairfield. Hank, talk to us.
Hi, fellas. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, to both of your points, I was thinking about the Embiid thing, and you can't have selective or conditional accountability. In no world is there where Embiid should not have been thrown out of that game and suspended. It was a blatant intent to injure. And by the way, Mitchell Robinson was injured, so that follows it up. And the league has said nothing about it since they ruled it a flagrant one. No 2-minute report, not in any report that I read. On top of that,
there wouldn't
to Michael's
need
point
to,
about the...
There wouldn't need to be, because of the fact that the league looked at it. So what do you think their report would be?
Understood, Don, but how in the world do you rule that not an intent to injure?
I don't know.
In any world.
Because I don't think they had the stomach, honestly, to kick a star player and affect the series. That's what I think.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and this is why, to Michael's point, no Knicks fan should be apologizing, because I remember it vividly in the 90s when three Knicks players got suspended for taking two steps off the bench for a fight that was happening on the other end of the floor.
But that's different, because that's automatic. Like, there was no judgment call
but
there. If you come off the bench, you get suspended. It was bull. I agree with you. But in that situation, it's black and white. You can't leave the bench. Right, Michael?
Yeah, but you should be using common sense.
I agree.
As Hank just said, they
absolutely
took a step.
Yes.
They were not in the middle of the fight. And that changed the course of history.
100%.
Of course. No, I agree
with
you.
That's where you use judgment in both scenarios and say Embiid should be suspended and those guys shouldn't. Embiid was intending to injure. Those guys were trying to get a better look out of concern for their teammates on the other end
of the
floor.
Absolutely. No, there's no question.
It's night and day.
But the way I understood it was what got them off the hook, that it was automatic. Didn't matter. Now, granted, the rule should never have been in place. It should be a judgment call, because it was ridiculous what happened to the Knicks then. But they fell on the sword of, hey, it's black and white. Can't leave the bench. They left the bench. You're out.
And better yet, Don, they lost the series because of it, not a game.
Awful.
A series.
I know. It was killer.
Ugh.
Yeah, it still makes me sick. It should have been, I blame the guys that came off the bench. They know the rule. But, I mean, it's human nature to just see what's going on. They didn't charge into it and throw punches.
Right.
They just stepped a little bit over the line. And but that's how David Stern operated. This is a rule. Yeah. It's absolute.
But you know, in a similar time, too, do you know how many, like, literal championships would be changed if there wasn't the stupid in-the-crease rule that erased goals for years in the NHL? Where if you had, you didn't even touch the goalie, but if you had just a little slither of your skate in the blue, they disallowed the goal. Do you know how many games, how many series, how many championships would have been changed? And finally, they ended the rule, but you could debate all you want. Hey, he didn't touch the goaltender. He didn't interfere with the goal. But the rule was, if you got any part of your skate in the crease, the goal's disallowed. It was the same thing. It was stupid. It was lazy. You leave the bench, you get suspended. And that's what they fell on, and you just hope that those rules get changed
after the Embiid thing, and not calling that a flagrant two. If they don't do something to Murray, they look ridiculous. Who's Spud Murray?
Now Murray's not Embiid, right? I mean,
he's not Embiid, but he's one half of a superstar tandem.
And I mean, you are affecting the series. Without him down 2-0 going to Minnesota, you are affecting the series.
Can I tell you something, though? This series is over.
It feels like it's over.
That might as well have been? That heating pad, Michael, you know what it should have been? A white towel.
You're right.
Is the end of the series. Good night and good luck.
And you know why? That's why they're going to suspend them. Because the series is probably over anyway. And let's be honest, Minnesota, Denver is not high profile. It's not New York, Philadelphia.
Well, how about they might get Minnesota, OKC?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference, though. I mean, I know the Nuggets are coming off a championship and they've got a great player on their team. But to Peter's point, looks like the series is done anyway. They're down 0-2, losing two games at home, getting pulverized in game two. That's not what Sixers-Knicks was a different animal, Michael. It was getting numbers. It was a compelling series. They didn't want it. They didn't want to affect out. Are they really affecting this one?
Can I tell all basketball fans out there that are just locked in on the Knicks? If you don't watch the Timberwolves, you're missing one of the great players you'll ever see. Anthony Edwards is really special. Really special. I mean, people are comparing him to Jordan. I'm not saying that. But if you're not watching the Timberwolves because you don't know them, Anthony Edwards is one of the best players in the NBA. It's not even close. I mean, he's so much better than some people that you think are better than him. He's amazing. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Great. What's up?
Yeah, I got one comment on the two-minute report and then a comment on the Knicks. The thing I hate about the two-minute report is, I'm sorry, this is my opinion, you guys could disagree. There's a call in the first quarter that could just change the outcome of the game as the fourth quarter. So I hate the whole two-minute report because it's only the last 2 minutes. As Don said, there could be 2 minutes and 3 seconds. It's not in the two-minute report.
I agree.
I was at that game last night. It was a great game. I was exhilarated. The last 10 minutes, I didn't talk to my friend at all because I was so nervous. It was a great game. But what I hate about things like this, and you know what, even when it goes against the Knicks, these calls are now taking away a Knicks victory. The Pacers blew a 9-point lead. The Knicks did everything they can to come back in that game and win. The Knicks deserve to win that game.
Yep.
So that's what I hate about the most about this is now everyone's talking about the refs and that one call. But one of what makes me mad is the Miles Turner screen, right? They called it. They said it was the right call. But now you got people saying, well, it was a foul, but they shouldn't call that point of the game. Now, what are we doing? Is it a foul or not? I hate that.
I know, but really, listen, we're all on the side of the Knicks there. Even Alan Hahn admitted that that's usually a call you don't see made late in the game. But still, you won the game. Don't get caught up in who says what, who believes what. You're up 1-0 in the series. Don't have to apologize for it. But if they do like, and we do see it, them making it up at some point, that there may be something that goes the Pacers' way later on in the series. Hopefully, it happens when the Knicks are already up 3-0.
Let's go to Mike in Long Beach. Michael.
Hey, guys. So, earlier you were talking about Brunson, and I wanted to speak about that, but Mike and Don, I don't know if you guys will have time for this because I know it's basketball and everything's crazy, but Mike, I do have one story about you and Sterling that I think you would really appreciate. And Don, I have an In the Wild with you specifically that I think would be very fun.
All right, okay. Go for it. Quick.
Go, quick.
I don't know if you guys want me to go with Brunson or those.
Just go.
Go to all of them. Just make, you know, save us the chorus so you don't bore us.
Brunson, got it. So with Brunson, you're looking at something that your eyes don't believe. The only player I remember that I could think about that is similar to this, and I'm not comparing him to him, but it's Brady. Nobody believed what they were seeing with Brady, and he just kept getting better and better. And when you look at his numbers, you look at the jumps he takes from year to year, but more importantly, the jump that he takes from the regular season to the postseason, they're tremendous. He's special. You guys are talking about Anthony Edwards. I love him. He's sick. He's awesome. Jalen Brunson still isn't getting the same type of views as
Mike,
Anthony Edwards
Mike,
is. And
Mike,
it is
Mike.
What it is.
I love Jalen Brunson. I love his game.
You're
Anthony
not
Edwards
seeing
on,
it. See,
Anthony
you don't
Edwards
want to believe
is a different
eyes.
Level. It's a different level.
I get it.
The athleticism, it's at a different level. They're comparing him to Jordan.
He keeps doing it, Brunson. He just
so does Edwards.
It's okay. Let's hope he keeps doing it and wins multiple championships.
That would be great.
Whether he will or whether he won't, I don't know.
All right, in the wild, Don, go.
So in the wild, Don, I used to work in 2 Penn Plaza. I would go down to the deli on the Amtrak side. And I see Don.
Don Pepe?
I didn't make...
You.
Yes.
No, but Don Pepe.
Don Pepe's.
Yeah, the deli.
Oh, yes, sure. Don Pepe's deli.
Here we go.
Yes. And, you know, you're waiting for your sandwich. And I knew who you were. I think you might have been working for Mike and the dog at that time. It was probably 2008 or so. And I make my order. I knew who you were. And I look over at you, and you're like, that sounds wonderful. And you rub your belly.
I love
it. You get your order, and you walk away. That's my in the wild with you.
Do you believe that story, Don? Sound like something you would do?
2008, he's working.
Yeah, you know. He's on the air here.
I was 7 years into my ESPN run.
That's okay.
What did you order that? I rubbed my belly?
I don't know who you were working for at the time. I threw it out.
We're telling you who he was working for.
That's my in the wild.
Okay.
You know what, Mike? Call back again with the Sterling story, because that one lost me.
You knew it was going to go bad. We should have just said, let's do the Brunson today and call
that
it.
That doesn't sound like something I would say. It was 2008, a long time ago.
Yeah, Michael, it's almost like his version of Yummy. That's not Don.
Michael, to me, no, I can picture Don hearing someone going, that sounds wonderful. I can picture it. Rubbing the belly he may have added as the years went on, but I can picture you saying someone's meal sounds wonderful.
I don't know if I've ever heard Don say the word wonderful.
No, I have. I've heard it about food before, honestly. Telling you the truth. Yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, when Calandra's Bakery comes, you'll hear Don say wonderful.
Yeah, I might rub my belly too.
Hey, if you're like me,
I'm not.
You love to spend time at home. My home is my happy place. I've been telling you that my home needed a refresh. So I chose the painting professionals at Serta Pro Painters. They exceeded my expectations. I easily scheduled online, and my Serta Pro Painter consultant provided a free estimate on site. I was able to book the project right there, and the painting, it was exceptional. Serta Pro Painters offers a warranty, so I have confidence that they will stand by their work, and they'll make sure that I'm completely satisfied. Free estimates, reliable communication, professional painting, all at the right price. Are you ready to paint and take projects off your to-do list? Contact Serta Pro Painters. Get started today. Each Serta Pro Painters business independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They're a local business you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at certapro.com. That's Serta with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg, letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, major international soccer is coming to New York this summer. FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium on July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down the contest and submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive a Man City or AC Milan jersey. Watch some of the best teams in the world. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at FCSeries.com. Now, before we go back to the calls, a lot of people want to talk about the Knicks, and obviously we know that, and we will accommodate you. There's a guy, Bill Chuck, who's a great information guy in baseball, and he just tweeted this out, Don. Pete Alonso is hitting .205 with an OPS of .710. Those are his worst numbers through 35 games since he became a major leaguer. 16 RBIs are his fewest as well, which can be attributed to a .138 batting average with runners in scoring position and a .155 batting average with men on base. Mm. If he keeps playing like this, I don't think he will, but if he keeps playing like this, he's going to make their decision less controversial. Because I don't think they're going
to
sign him.
I don't think they're going to either, Michael. And I don't know, maybe this works to the Mets' advantage that there might not be an outcry if he ends up having a really bad season, but he's going to cost himself millions.
Yep.
Now, I don't think he was going to get what he probably wants anyway.
Right.
But why do I have a feeling, Michael, that we're going to get to opening day 2025 and Pete Alonso's still going to be unsigned?
Well, if he keeps holding out for close to $40 million, he will be. I mean, it's like running backs in football. They put a number on you, and that's it. So even if you're a great running back, like Barkley, you're going to get what you're going to get. Pete Alonso, there's a cap on first baseman. It's about $30 million. Not going to get more than that. And if he has a bad season, he's not getting that.
And do you think that he's banking on, well, the Met fans, there's going to be outrage. The Mets are going to have to try to bring him back. If the Mets sign Juan Soto and Pete Alonso doesn't have a great year, you think the fan base is going to be screaming that Alonso isn't a Met?
No. Not at all. Not at all. Rob in Connecticut. Rob.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Listen every day. Two quick points, and then I'll let you answer.
Do it.
First question. Do you guys think any two of the three of you can handle a game of pickleball with the Rick and Dave? And who would win that one? And last point for the Yankees, Michael, what mid-season transactions would you like to see? What moves would you like to have to make to really make a run at the championship? Thank you.
You got it. I mean, you could look at getting Cole back as a mid-season move and getting back all the relievers that are on the IL. I don't know if they have to make any major move like that. You know, you can always use a starter, but right now, who would you take out? The starting pitching has been great. And as for the pickleball, I can't speak for Don and Peter. No, I don't think that we could beat them.
I don't believe so.
In pickleball?
Yeah.
Well, Michael's out. He would not be able to help us. But Don, I think if you and I practiced, I'd consider getting involved.
Well, I'm in a lot better condition than I was thanks to the kickboxing.
That's right.
My knees aren't good. I think I've got a torn meniscus in both of my knees. I don't know. I saw a little of the video. I don't know a lot about pickleball. Is there a lot of movement? Get away with bad knees?
There's not a lot of running, but there is some. You got to be able to
go up and
let's
back.
Make this happen. I'd like to do it,
but we'd have to at least we have to then we have you and I have to get a schedule of playing first.
I'm a little hurt that you just eliminated me.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I just don't see. Well, I don't see you being a valuable contributor.
Honestly, Michael, I just don't see how we can fit it into your schedule.
That's true.
No, that wasn't what he was saying. I appreciate you being kind. He's saying that I couldn't help physically.
Yeah, no, I did. No, that's what I meant.
I can't get into Peter's brain. I'm because we had the conversation. I said I'd love to do something like what they did Sunday on DNR on our show. But you know how difficult it is to get the three of us in one place on an off day. You know, it's tough. And Michael, you make it tough at this time. I mean, would you want to?
Even if he could, Don, we don't want him on the team. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, can't you be nice?
No, he can't.
Isn't there a nice way? Because the schedule would have been enough, and then you could have spared his feelings.
All right, let me say it nicely.
No. You can't change this. No. I'm good.
You kind of have to own it.
No, he should own it. Going to own a punch in the mouth next time I see him.
Because Michael does cardio every day. I mean, he's not.
I just can
unfit.
Can you picture him like running up to the net and running back?
Hey, listen,
right now,
he does not embarrass himself during the Sasso softball the way some people.
Oh no, he's
not
in
way better
man.
Condition and younger than Michael do.
How about that catch I made against the fence that year?
You made a catch against the fence. You always make contact. You run full speed down the first. Not fast, but you can do it. I mean, there are people at this radio station that can't make contact. But Dave Rothenberg tapped out of the game. Let my son bat. I'm tired. And you know what? I was happy his son batted. He could do better than Dave.
Well, the batting didn't bother me about Dave. The throwing did.
Both are not what you want.
No.
I feel that way. But I don't know, Don. If you're worried that your knees don't have it in, because you got to have a little side to side motion. I mean, listen, it's
you know what? I'm willing to blow out both my knees right there for this show, for this station, and for you.
What?
Let's do it.
You want to. Now, where are we going to practice? When are we going to practice?
In the hall, during breaks.
I don't think that's
enough.
You
can't play pickleball in the hall.
Why not?
It's not a playground. It's a place of work.
We know how long the hall is.
Who's going to stop us, Michael?
Yeah, that's a great point, Michael.
That's a great point by you.
Point guard?
There's not one authority figure within 1,000 miles.
Do you remember Independence Day when everybody was leaving the building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Harvey Fierstein?
Harvey Fierstein's under the desk. That's every day. Right, so there's plenty. Nobody's going to stop.
I knew you were going Fierstein. Oh. Wow, look how handsome that man is on TV. You see that?
Oh, they had an ISO on
Isola. They had an ISO on ISO?
Frank Isola is one of... We rated the good-looking guests.
We don't mention him enough when we talk about the good-lookings of ESPN, of our friends that we know. I think ISO needs to be in the conversation more.
No, he's a very handsome guy, for sure. 1-800-919-3776 is the number. And let's go. We go to James in Middleton.
Hey, guys. What's going on, boys?
What's going on, James?
Hey, real quick, Mike, just for you, really, like, you know, these umpires, refs, all sports, why aren't they made available to the media? Like, why can't Meredith interview them after the games? The players have to answer for every mistake they made. Why'd you throw this pitch 3-2? Even you, Michael, you said something the other day that they didn't like and the media picked up on about the baseball.
Right.
Make these umpires face the music on camera. Like, they should be available to media after games.
I agree. Now, if there's a real bad call, James, like a really bad call that you know affects the game, there is what they allow is a pool reporter. One writer is chosen out of all the people covering the game to speak to the umpire or the crew chief. Then they give their reasoning, and then that writer disseminates the information to everybody, so no one gets an exclusive or anything like that. But it'd be nice to get their face on TV too. Why do we, as a rights holder, not have the opportunity to stick a mic in an umpire's face that made a bad call?
I will say this, though. I think if you're going to do that, they kind of deserve a raise.
Why?
I just think if you're going to put a target on them where they now have to speak to the media regularly and be so front-facing about every mistake that happens when it's a given mistakes are going to happen, I don't know. To me, that becomes a more expensive job.
Well, they had an answer yesterday. It's only like yesterday, Fred Katz of The Athletic was the pool reporter. So he met with the head official, the head ref. And that's the same thing that happens in baseball. They know they have to answer to a bad call. Yeah, and when they don't, then you start to wonder, well, why won't they answer questions?
I hear you. It's just, to me, that adds a new layer to their job, sitting there and answering questions like every player does. Those players are paid exceptionally well to do that.
Well, you know what? You know, according to the average Joe and Jane, these officials make a heck of a lot of money, too.
True. But
I think about $300,000 a year.
You are adding a layer to their job. Like we always say, hey, it's the job of a player to speak to the media. And they get paid accordingly because they've got to, after their job, which makes their job harder, to have to answer on why they gave up the home run or the touchdown or the goal or the whatever. Peter's right. I don't know how much, but there's probably a little extra you would have to pay them to be held accountable, speak to the media. I'd like to see it. I really would. There's so many questions that we end up asking a coach or a player about. I hate asking questions to someone that is not the person I should be asking it to, right? It always sounds like, why am I asking Robert Saleh why somebody was cut or why somebody was drafted? That's for the general manager. But we don't get to talk to Joe Douglas, so we have to ask Robert Saleh. Why should I have to ask a coach or a player why a call was made or why it wasn't made? I want to be able to ask it to the person that didn't make the call or made the call.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I've said this in baseball too. Why do managers have to talk about injuries? Have the trainer come out and talk about the injury. Have the team doctor. Why are you putting that on Carlos Mendoza and Aaron Boone to sit there and, like, you know, opine on injuries and when they're going to come back? Have the professionals come out.
I just think everybody that's involved in the sport should be available to answer questions. I'm not saying for all day, but there's press conferences. Have, you know, or all of the officials or somebody representing the officials. Like in baseball, the crew chief should be able to answer whatever questions.
Let's go to Liam in South Amboy.
Hi, Liam.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Good. So, I can't help but think about this as a Nets fan watching the Knicks. I gotta say I'm happy for them. I've been a Nets fan for a long time. I hate the Sixers a lot more than I, you know, feel anything about the Knicks. But I realize that there's been other iterations of the franchise that existed in New York, but, you know, I got to say, like, the city's got such a love affair with the Knicks, especially when it's going well, like, there's a buzz in the air. You know, and like, the last couple of years in New Jersey weren't great either, like, you know, but, you know, I think it was a little bit of a mistake to move the Nets back to New York, because, like, it just, you know, I'm a little bit jealous, I got to say.
Yeah, but you know what, Liam, I hear the frustration in your voice, but even if they're playing in East Rutherford,
yeah,
they're still going to be second fiddle to the Knicks.
True,
so
but
they're in a world-class facility in Brooklyn. The fact that they were in Brooklyn and playing a world-class facility got them Durant and got them Irving. So it wasn't like that was an epic fail. What happened, you know, with the COVID and all that, and that was what made it fall apart. So yeah. I can't say the move to Brooklyn was bad.
I think it was a mistake.
But why?
The ratings are no different. At least if you're in New Jersey. Yeah, it's not New York. All right, so you represent New Jersey. What's wrong with that? And then you'd have your following in New Jersey. You'd be covered by the New Jersey press, and you'd be a New Jersey team. It'd be a smaller market, but at least it'd be yours. Now you got to go share the platform with the Knicks. I get overall, with a lot of the papers and the radio stations, that you're going to be second fiddle. But at least in New Jersey, you would be covered as a New Jersey team. I see it with the Devils. They can't compete with the Rangers and Islanders in New York. They're not trying to. They're New Jersey's team, and they get support from the Newark Star-Ledger and the New Jersey stations and the New Jersey websites, and you build the following through that. I'm sorry, they just didn't have the following. Now you've taken the people that follow them in New Jersey that can't, that it's inconvenient to go to Brooklyn. The attendance would have been the same if they stayed in Newark. The ratings would have been the same, but I think you would have been able to generate something that you could call your own instead of hopping into the bigger market, and now you're just a small fish in a really big pond.
But I believe that if you stay in Jersey, you are not getting Durant, and you are not getting Durant.
I don't know that.
But by the way, so who cares?
Who cares?
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out, but it was great.
I know, but was it great? It was something.
Well, it turned out to be awful, but
that's what I mean. Well, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I'm so glad that we ended up spending our time together. Yeah, but she cheated on you with your brother, and they're married with three kids.
But even if it could have worked out, I mean, one of the reasons they said that Kyrie wanted to become a Net because he grew up a Net fan. He grew up a Net fan in New Jersey.
So would it have stopped him from going there? And then obviously KD was following Kyrie, so I still think it would have happened if they stayed in Jersey.
Yeah, I don't think KD would have gone to Jersey.
What about Kyrie and KD, though?
You know what? Then it would have worked.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Knick fans should not be embarrassed at all. It's all part of the game. They received bad calls in Philly. They let Embiid get away with stuff, and the Knicks won. The Pacers had many chances to win that game despite these bad calls in the last 2 minutes. They were up by 9 points in the fourth quarter, so stop. I'm not going to sit here and apologize for that the Knicks won a game. That's why I hate the two-minute report, because now some people in Indiana are going to take some of the steam away from the Knicks. Well, see, they did really win. You know what? It's tied at one. Thank you.
Well, it's not really
game two is tomorrow. Ian Begley reporting the Knicks are ruling Mitchell Robinson is out for game two due to left ankle injury management. Robinson hurt the ankle in the Philly series, had significant surgery on it earlier in the season, and the Knicks will presumably turn to Precious Achiuwa in Robinson's absence. Now, I love Mitchell Robinson. He adds a lot to the team.
Sure.
That's not a backbreaker for the team.
No.
Precious Achiuwa is really good.
It's not a backbreaker. It's not what you want, but it's okay.
They survived a long time without him this year.
Yes, they did.
I don't want to devalue him.
Well, and you not to devalue that man.
But, no, you'll not devalue. But you don't want to be thinner in the playoffs.
But no, that's true. But the injury to Robinson opened the door for Hartenstein. And you found out how good he was. It was very similar to the injury, right, Anthony, with Jacob Trouba. Jacob Trouba missed 11 games, and all of a sudden you found out how good Braden Schneider was. Mitchell Robinson was out when it looked like he was going to be Defensive Player of the Year early in the season, and then Hartenstein got extra minutes, and boy, you're like, boy, we don't miss him. This guy's really good. So sometimes one door closes, another one opens.
Now, remember couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, talked about the bidding on the Yankee auction for the Yankee Foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ends tonight. My Zoom is at $800.
Okay.
Cashman's at $650.
Mm.
Gene Afterman at $550. It's also, my $800 is higher than a Juan Soto autographed baseball.
Well, you don't realize 30-minute conversation with Michael Kay.
That
means to some to people.
Think about that.
Let me think about it.
What is Brian going to tell you? I mean, I like Brian. I enjoy Brian's company. I really do. But the average person couldn't care less about him.
Oh, my God.
No, that's true. Yankee fans can't stand the guy.
Well, yeah.
They pay $650 to have him fired.
Wouldn't it be great if the person who won the Zoom with me just despises me and spends the entire time on the Zoom cursing me out?
You would almost have to respect that, Michael.
I would. I would love it.
You would have to respect that.
I'd sit
that.
There with like a little smirk on my face and go for it, babe. Let's go to Mark in Staten Island. Marky Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. So I watched a stream of the pickleball match with Dave and Rick the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to insult you guys, but you would have absolutely no shot. You would get smoked.
How so?
Now, Dave is very good. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good, you know, regular guy. I think if you guys practice, you can probably get up to his level. But Rick is on another level. Like, super, like, you forget that he's a number one draft, overall draft.
Never forgotten that for a second.
The most, but I think you did when you're watching. You think that, I think if you two just play Rick, you would lose. Because he got
what? Well, that may be true, but it's not because I forgot. I remember.
I just want the chance to watch do it.
But I think you should take him in bowling, maybe. It wouldn't even be fun. He is so good at pickleball that he could probably play with professionals and
okay.
hold his own.
All right. Is this Michael? Michael?
No, I co-sign everything that Mark said.
He is very
Peter,
good.
Watch the stream.
I'm watching it right now. I'm going to see if I get professional
energy.
Well,
the guy was a world-class goalie, so the hand-eye coordination is there. That's what you need in pickleball.
And somebody reminded me, CJ Carlissimo.
It's not PJ.
CJ.
Okay.
Reminded me on social media that they invented pickleball for senior citizens.
Yeah, so you didn't have to move around.
So now you plop in a former first overall pick in the NHL with great hand-eye coordination, then he should be able to dominate.
How much playing of the game has Rick done in his preparation?
I think they did practice. I think they did prep.
I will tell you this, though, Don. That seems to be the selling point for pickleball and, you know, for older adults. Ever since pickleball, you know how many older adults have gone to the emergency room with torn knees and hamstrings and calves?
Well, it's because anytime you have an activity, you add an activity that everyone's participating in. Well, Imani also looks horrible. Like, I'm watching right now. I'm going to be honest. I just saw a shot from him that was disgraceful.
I heard a rumor.
Go ahead.
That he pulled a Billy Smith. And for people who don't know Billy Smith, no congratulations. He walked off the court, left.
Is that true?
Yeah, I had heard. I don't know if is that confirmed, Anthony?
That was what it looked like.
But
on
pulled
the
it at Belfour. Like, just, you know, the guys, Michael, that refused to do the handshake line at the end of the series.
Yeah.
Like, that was him. He dropped the paddle, walked out of the building, didn't say goodbye, out the door.
Really?
For all we know, he doesn't even work for us anymore.
That would be strong.
I don't know, because nobody's heard from him. Has anybody heard from him?
Yes, he does work for us, yes.
Well, how do you know?
He spent a lot of time signing autographs after with fans. He's
Is that true?
Yes.
So what I was told was not true.
Well, he didn't leave it to his car. He didn't feel like congratulating.
Are we saying goodbye to Yes in 5 seconds?
I don't want to.
I love you, Flip.
We love you, Flip. Goodbye, Yes. But we're still here.
So he didn't walk out of it. He didn't pull a walkout. He just did
He walked
not,
out for the handshake line.
He didn't congratulate Rick and Dave.
I can't confirm if that happened after, but on the live stream is all I know.
I know sore loser is a negative connotation. I think there's something to that.
Something good to it.
Well, because I don't know if I told this story. I've been talking to athletes, and just turns out to be NHLers because that's who I'm hanging around with, about Marco's inability to handle losing. Can't do it.
He's been struggling. He's been struggling with that.
And I asked Brian Boyle about it because he was at one of the Ranger games, and he said, good, losing sucks.
It's so funny. You and I are almost like living the same life. Because Charlie doesn't handle losing well. Now, it's not like he gets angry, but he starts to cry.
Anita, geez, that was a bad show.
So I talked to O'Neill about it. He goes, I did the same thing. It's great.
I was told it's actually a good thing because that's a passion that you can dial down, but you can't dial it up.
Well, like O'Neill never dialed it down.
If they don't...
Yeah, look at O'Neill right now.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. He works out. If you don't have the passion for winning, you can't create it. But if you have it to like a problem level, then you can always try to dial it down, make it work for you. I mean, I don't think Paul O'Neill started crying, but you know he definitely broke a few bats and Gatorade jugs along the way, and that's okay.
Boy,
don't accept losing.
They are getting smoked here in the second set. I've been watching now, and they'd already lost the first set, and they're down 6-1 in the second.
And how good is Yum? Right? How good is Yum, boy?
He's very good. I mean, he's.
You hate to admit it. You can't.
No, no. I need to keep watching it. I don't know the game well enough. So I see how Rick would be overwhelming.
It's like little tennis. What don't you know?
Well, I know that, Michael. I'm not saying I'm looking at it going, I don't know what I'm looking at.
I understand why they went pickleball. Like, pickleball is strange, but little tennis just doesn't work.
Yeah, I see how that didn't work. You know? Or schming schmong.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.